So we're feeling very fortunate tonight to be in this very sacred place. We're sitting here, Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and I'm looking around. I'm in this room. Srila Prabhupada came so many times, and his disciples were coming here, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking to them very monumental things. He was changing people's lives. And it's a very special place. We feel Srila Prabhupada's presence here. So we should try to say something for Prabhupada's pleasure. So we're singing this nice song from Kalyana Kalpa Charu. This is very pertinent for the subject matter we've been discussing for the last few days about a culture of respect and how we should learn to respect everyone. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's giving some hint how we can do that. He says, Kripa Koro Vaishnava Thakur, that we should approach a Vaishnav in this mood and beg for them, you please give me your mercy, O Vaishnava Thakur. We were citing these verses the other day from Chanakya Sutra, where he says that Indriya Jayasya Mulam Vinaya. If you want to control your senses, how do you control your senses? By becoming humble. How do we develop humility? Vinayasya Mulam Bridopaseva. The root of humility is service and respect to superiors. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there are three types of service to elders. Protection of parents, protection of teachers, and protection of other elders. One must follow the instructions of parents and serve them as much as possible. A person should serve those who have protected him as a helpless child. He should have also service those who have given knowledge, especially those who have given spiritual knowledge and mantra. Those are considered superior who are bigger in body, greater in age, or more experienced in knowledge. One must respect and serve them all. This is our Vaishnava principle. If we want to cultivate humility, this is a method. Service and respect to superior persons. And he says that if one renders such service, then what is the result? Brida sevaya vijnanam. Someone who renders such service, they develop wisdom. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's showing us that especially the most senior person out of these eight different levels of respect that he describes in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, the most elevated person is the Vaishnav. So we should worship the Vaishnav. Kripa Koro Vaishnava Thakur. Because Sambandha Janiya Bhajite Bhajite Abhimano Havadur. Very significant language he's using. That if I worship the Vaishnava and Kripa Bindu Diya, if he gives me just a drop of his mercy, then Sambandha Janiya, I'll be able to understand what is my relationship with Krishna. Right now, I have so many confused ideas. I have so many different designations for myself, so many different upadis. I am a temple devotee. I'm a bloop devotee. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm an ISKCON devotee. I don't like other types of peoples. Because these upadis, they breed designations. These designations, they breed some division. I'm different than other people. These are my friends. These are good people. These other people, we don't like them. But we don't really understand who we are. Just like children, when they're growing up, when I was a small child, my father built a playhouse for us. And in that playhouse, we had a rack of so many different clothes. And we had different costumes. We had a policeman's outfit. And we had some women's dresses. And we had some army outfit. And cowboy dresses. And so many different dresses. And we put those dresses on. And for that hour or two, we'd become a cowboy. We'd become a lady or a policeman or this thing or that thing. So in the same way that children are playing like that, in the material world, the living entities, we don't know who we are. And so we've gone to some store and purchased some clothing off the rack. Oh, I think I'll be this thing. And we dress ourselves up in this upadhi. Mm-hmm. So Sanatana Goswami, he's taught us that when we come to Guru, we have to give up those upadhis. Right? And he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he prayed to Mahaprabhu. He said that, I don't even know who I am. I don't have any upadhis. This is how we should come before Guru and Sadhu. Our acharyas have commented upon Krishna's Vastraharana Leela. Sometimes some lusty people, they like to think about this pastime of Krishna. Oh, this is a very nice thing. Huh? Krishna's going and taking the clothes of the gopis and seeing their naked beauty. Huh? Because lusty people, they want to engage in some similar activities. But they forget to mention that Krishna was 8 years old when that thing was happening, and the gopis were even younger. It wasn't such a sensuous thing. It's a very beautiful lesson to that. Because those gopis, they wanted to have a sambandha, a connection with Krishna. They wanted to marry Krishna. So Krishna showed them a lesson that if you want to develop a relationship with God, you have to come before Him naked. You have to give up all your upadhis, all your designations. This is not me. When we come to Sadhu Vaishnava, we shouldn't try to impress the Sadhu. Don't think that when we're coming to Guru, oh, I'm doing him a big favor. I'm a big person. I'm a very cultured. He'll be very fortunate if he has a disciple like me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us. We have to give that thing up. There's a story in Braj. Once there was one very cultured, educated Bengali gentleman who, toward the end of his life, he renounced his family. And he came to Braj. And there in Braj, he heard about some sadhu mahatma who was residing on the bank of Radhakund and doing his bhajan. So the Bengali gentleman, he went there and he came to that sadhu and he said, oh Maharaj, please, you accept me as your disciple. This sadhu mahatma, he looked at this Bengali gentleman and he could see that he had so much mundane abhiman. He was really thinking he was a very important person. And because of that, he didn't have qualification to receive what that sadhu had. So that sadhu said, anyway, I'm very busy. You maybe come some other day. And he sent him away. And again, that Bengali gentleman was coming there. And again, the sadhu would make some excuse. And finally, that Bengali gentleman was crying. He said, please, sir, you please give me initiation. And so that sadhu mahatma, he said, well, I can give you initiation, but if I accept you as my disciple, will you do what I tell you? Yes, Maharaj. So I want some bakshish. I want some guru dakshina. Yes, yes, what is it? I'll give you initiation if you can do one thing for me. If you can bring me one person, or one living entity, who's actually truly, in all respects, lower than you. So that Bengali gentleman, he thought, that's not such a difficult thing. I come from a very high-class family. I'm very educated. So yes, yes, Maharaj. So he set out, and he thought, well, I'll go to the Bungi colony. In India, to this day, they have different colonies of the Bungis. And the Bungis are street sweepers, people who clean the toilets, and do various low-class activities. So he thought, yes, just see this rickshawwala who's living here. Such a very low-class person. He's engaged in a very menial service. I can bring him. But then as he approached that man, he thought to himself, actually, he's a bridge bossy. And moreover, he's engaged in rendering service to all the other bridge bossies. It's a very exalted quality, quality that I don't have. So I can't get him. Oh, here's another person. He's cleaning the toilets and he's sweeping the streets. This is a very low-class activity. But then he thought to himself, He's also a Brajbasi. And he's cleaning the streets. A Braj means that he's decorating himself always with a Brajduli, the sacred dust of Braj. He's actually also more elevated than me. So then he thought, anyway, these dogs who are here, they're very, very low-class creatures. Surely I can take one of them. But then again he thought, they're Brajbasis. They have qualities that I don't have. So that Sadhu Mahatma gave him 1 week time to bring someone more fallen than himself, lower than himself. That week went by, and that Bengali gentleman couldn't find anyone. Finally, the last day arrived when he was supposed to return to that sadhu. And that morning, he was answering the call of nature in a field. He was out there passing stool. As he was passing stool, he saw a very low-class creature. He saw a worm enter into his stool and start eating that stool. And he thought to himself, this creature is definitely lower than me. I can bring him to Maharaj. But then he thought to himself, actually, he has a very good quality that I don't have. I am eating very nice Krishna prasad every day. And what happens to that prasad after I eat it? It becomes some very obnoxious, disgusting thing. But this worm, he's so exalted that he's able to transform that disgusting thing into something useful. In the dirt. I can't do such a thing. He's also better than me, even this worm and stool. So he said, oh. So he went back to that sadhu. He said, Maharaj, I'm very, very sorry. I looked and looked. And I remember what you told me, that the living entity had to be lower than me in every respect. And really, I couldn't find anyone who was lower than me in every respect. And that Maharaj became very pleased then. And he embraced that Bengali gentleman. He told him, now you're qualified to receive initiation. So when we approach Guru and Sadhu, we have to give up our Abhiman. We have to give up those Upadhis. And as Sanatana Goswami, we approach and ask, Kami, who am I? I don't even know who I am. So sambandha janiya, bhajite bhajite abhimana haudura. If I get the mercy of Sadhu Guru, then I'll understand my relationship with Krishna. And my Abhiman will be driven far away. So the first thing is, if I want to develop that, there's a problem that comes. This Vaishnav Abhiman. When I get initiation, I'm no longer Bhakta Rick. Now I'm Krishna Das. And everybody should give me some respect because I'm a Vaishnav. I'm almost a pure devotee. I've been in the temple for 6 months now or something. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying, hey, Sabadhan, you be careful. Amito Vaishnava, e buri hoili, amani na hobo ami. He says that if you start thinking that you're a Vaishnava, that you're a sadhu, then you won't be able to give respect to everyone else. You won't be able to give up your abhiman. You won't be able to become amanina manadena. Amanina hobo ami. You won't be able to give that thing up. And rather, a very bad thing will happen. Pratistasa asi hridoya dusive hoibo niragami. I'll start progressing to hell. Because this pratista, as we were quoting this morning or last night, Raghunath Das Goswami in his Braj Lila Stava describes, pratista raju birbadham kamadya vatmapati bihi chitvatu sangarantastan agare pantumam vataham. I'm on the road to bhakti, but some dacoits have come and attacked me. They've tied me up with ropes. I can't go any further. And what are the ropes they've tied me up with? Pratista Rajubir. They've tied me up with the ropes of false prestige. But don't you know who I am? I'm a big person. I'm one of the main contributors to the temple. I'm a senior devotee. I've been here for so long. I know 15 verses from Bhagavad Gita. I'm a very, very important person. So Bhaktivinoda says that if this thing enters into your heart, in hoiba niraragami, this is a very heavy thing. He said, then you'll be progressing toward hell. We won't be progressing toward Krishna. It's the wrong direction. We have to give up this attitude that I'm a Vaishnava. Once Srila Prabhupada told the devotees in Australia that you're not Vaishnavas. You're only dressing like Vaishnavas. He said, but just like an actor on the stage, he's not really the person that he's portraying. But by going on the stage and dressing like that person and trying to cultivate his accent and his mannerisms, then you develop something of the mood of that person you're portraying. So in the same way, we dress ourselves up in Vaishnava attire and we're trying to act like Vaishnavas. Because some of that may rub off on us. It'll be good for us. But if we start thinking that I'm a Vaishnava, Loi Sadhuvesh, Ani Upadesh, E Boro Mayaranga, and we start thinking I'm a sadhu because I'm dressing up like this, I'm giving everyone else instructions, E Boro Mayaranga, this is Maya's big joke. He says, so what is my identification? Tomara Kinkora, Apane Janibo. I only know one thing. I am the servant of my Gurudev. And Guru Abhimana Tyaji. I never want to cultivate the attitude that I'm Guru. My Gurudev is always present. Not that I'm going to kill him and become a Guru Drohi and try to take his position. That is called Guru Giri. The business of acting as Guru. There's different types of disciples. The Bahirmukh Shishyas and the Antarmukh Shishyas, internal devotees and external devotees. Of the Bahirmukh Shishyas, there's different types. There's the Snehasilita, the Guru Giri, and the Vishayi. The Vishayi is someone who can't control his senses. And there's two types of Vishayi Shishyas, Anutap and Niranutap, or one who laments that he's not able to control his senses and follow principles. And such a person is actually rightly situated. He's Durachar. He's a Durachari, but he's a sadhu. Because bhajate mam ananya bhak. He's doing proper bhajan and he's lamenting. He's anutap. But the niranutapi, he's a bogus imposter who's simply coming for some profit, adoration, and distinction. And he's not a real disciple. And then there's the Snehasilita. Sneha means affection. Some disciples who just want affection and attention from Gurudev. And they sit up front in class, and Gurudev slaps them on the head and tells them, so, eating stool, this or that. Or he says some affectionate things to them. They go for a ride in the car with him, and he gives them some attention, and they thrive on that. They're very, very happy. And they think, this is what bhakti means. And this is what a relationship with guru means. To get this kind of affection and to get this kind of attention. Because, ultimately, they're in a subtle way, they're thinking that I'm the center of everything. Everything revolves around me. The real purpose of a relationship with my guru is that he gives attention to me and affection to me. Because I'm the most important person there is. Such a disciple, he's anartha yukta vasta. He has anarthas in his heart. And his darshan of guru is bogya darshan. He doesn't see the swarup of his guru. He sees that guru is there for my pleasure. And when such a snehasilita sishya, when their guru leaves this world, then they become in great anxiety. Oh, my whole spiritual life means getting affection and attention from sadhu. So, he's gone. My Gurudev is dead. For them, their guru is dead. They don't have vision that their guru is always present. They can't see how he's still present and how he can guide the disciple to his instructions and to his service. And so such a disciple becomes in great anxiety. My spiritual life means having this affection and attention. Where am I going to get it? I have to find it somewhere. I'll go to some other sadhu. And they go searching here and there for sadhu sangha. Our Gurudev wants us to have sadhu sangha more than we do. But we should acquire that sadhu sangha in the proper way. Everyone can agree that a Rolls Royce car is the best car. But the question comes, how to purchase it? Some people, they say, it's not a big deal. You just take a hammer and you go to the dealership at night and you smash the glass and go inside and drive off with the car. And they may try like that. Other people, they say, well, I'll just stand on the corner with a little sign around my neck saying, please donate a Rolls Royce car to me. And you may get lucky. After some time, some rich person might come by and say, look, he wants a Rolls Royce car. Let me give him one. It might happen. But another person says, you guys are all idiots. I'm going to go get a job and work and make money. So, acharjara matajay, say matasar. The essence of our spiritual life is the instruction of our Gurudev. That's our job. That's our business. We have to acquire the money of our Gurudev's favor. We have to please him. And we have to work for that. And when he becomes pleased, then we'll have some fortune. And we'll have some adhikar for sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha will naturally come to us. He'll send it. He'll become pleased with us. It's not required that we make some separate endeavor on our own. And with our faulty material senses, our pancha gyan indriya, try to ascertain something which is beyond matter and spirit, which is spirit. All that we can perceive with our pancha gyan indriya is pancha tanmatra, dull matter. We'll always be cheated. So we have to depend on guru. So the snehasilita, he feels, oh, I have to fill this hole somewhere. I have to get this attention. So he goes to someone else. And the Guru Giri is a person who wants to advertise to everyone. Hey, don't you know? I'm a disciple of Gorga Vindamarsh. And he's a sadhu mahatma. And you should all give me some pranam and some pranami, some respect and some money. Because after all, I have such a great guru. I must be a great disciple myself. And in this way, they make a business out of their guru. Therefore, they're known as Guru Giri. Such persons are contemptible. Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he says that Gopayed Guru Matmanaha. You should hide your guru. Don't advertise your guru. It's a very, very private thing. For those of you here who were born in Indian culture, you know that family life is a very private thing. The relationship between a husband and a wife, a cultured person will never go and speak to others about that. And what to speak of our relationship with our guru? It's a very private thing. If we have something valuable in our house, you have a diamond necklace, do you hang it on the fence outside your house to show everybody? No, you lock it inside of a safe, inside of another locked room. And your house is locked, and the gate is locked, and you have a dog there to protect things. Because it's a very precious thing. So we should keep that thing private. And we should give up the attitude that I'm guru myself. Our only mentality should be, Tomara kinkore, apane janibi. I don't know anything else. All that I know is I'm the servant of my Gurudev. And Guru Abhimana Tyaji, I give up the attitude that I'm Guru. What does that mean? Giving up the attitude that I'm Guru means giving up the propensity to criticize others and to find fault with others. That's the business of Guru. It's not my business. And if I try to do that thing, then what will happen? Krishna says the same verse in Gita twice, in the third chapter and in the 18th chapter. He says, Shreyansa dharma viguna para dharma swanusti tat. He gives us a very wonderful secret, how to be peaceful in our bhajan. And a very wonderful secret for our society. Krishna says, do your duty. Don't do someone else's duty. Do what your Gurudev has given you to do. And who cares what someone else has been given? This is my work. Once there was a disciple, one guru, who had many disciples. And every day he would give some lecture. And at the end of his Harikatha, he would distribute some Mahaprasad. So all the disciples liked that part of the lecture very much. So they were standing in queue, waiting for prasadam. And one devotee was standing at the head of the queue, and he was a new disciple. Just behind him was a very senior disciple. And this senior disciple had some abhiman. And I'm very senior. These are the people they don't know so much. I'm very close to Gurudev. Gurudev and I, we're like this. He's thinking that way. So he saw that the disciple who was standing just in front of him in the queue, when he went to get some sweet from Guru Maharaj, Gurudev gave him a, what is it called? The Rajbhog. It was a popular sweet in UP. It's like a rasgulla, this big. And it has some candy on the inside. Very, very nice sweet. So that disciple was very happy. And the senior disciple was just behind him. And so then he went, yes, Gurudev, you please give me. And his guru gave him a little bundi ladu. Little small thing. And he's looking, what is this? I'm a senior disciple. He's giving this new fellow this big, nice, sweet. I'm just getting this little ladu. This is not good. This isn't right. He said, Guru Maharaj, why are you giving him a big sweet? You're only giving me a little sweet? I'm a senior disciple. Says Guru Maharaj, he said, oh, you would like one of the big... Yes! I deserve? Well, definitely you should have. So then the guru gave him that big sweet. So you eat this. And the disciple became very happy. And he went and ate that very nice sweet. The next morning, he came to see his Guru Maharaj. He said, Guru Maharaj, I had a big problem all night last night. I didn't sleep all night. All night long, I was just passing stool the whole time. His Guru Maharaj told him, yes, I know. That's why I didn't offer you that sweet. Because you can't digest that. For you, there was something else that was meant. But you wanted that thing. So then we gave it to you. So we should accept whatever our Gurudev gives us. Whatever medicine he gives us. That's perfect for us. A foolish person is someone who thinks, oh, I know the pharmacy is there. And there's so many medicines in the pharmacy. So I'll go to the pharmacy and I'll just take all the medicine. I'll take everything. And then I'll never get sick again. Because you'll die. If you try like that. If we try to mix all the instructions from Gurudev. We have a particular instruction. And we should accept that thing. So we should give up this attitude that I'm guru, that I'm a big disciple. Tomaro uchisa para jalareno sadhaniskapati bhaji. And what is a symptom that I give up this attitude? That I'm accepting the uchista, the remnants of my Gurudev's food. Para jalareno, I'm taking the dust and water from his feet. Sadhaniskapati bhaji. I'm always worshipping you. But the word niskapati is very significant. I'm doing it in a non-duplicitous way. I'm not a duplicitous person coming, oh, Gurudev, Kripa Koro, Kripa Koro, please be merciful to me. You help me, you give me this and that. But then underneath it, I'm not following the instructions of Guru. I'm criticizing other Vaishnavas. I have such an abhiman, I think I'm a big person. Bhaktivinoda says, Nija Sreshta Jani Uchi Stadadani. Hobi abhimana bhara. If I think that I'm a shreshta, I'm a big person, I'm very, very important, then what will be the result? I'll start going around. Here, Prabhu, let me give you some mercy. And I'll give you, I'll bless you, giving you some of my remnants. Uchi stadadhani. Hobe abhimana bhara. I'll become very, very proud. And I'll lose this chanadapi sanichena bhava. I won't be able to offer respect to others because I have this misidentification, this improper attitude. He says, therefore, taisishyataba takiya sarvada na loiba pujakar. I'm always going to remain your disciple. And I'll never accept worship for myself. Now, someone may question, how is it that we see Srila Prabhupada was accepting worship from the devotees? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also accepting worship. And many of our acharyas were accepting worship like that. We should understand this thing in tattva. There's two considerations, our Guru Maharaj used to say, aparavichar, the apparent consideration, and tattva-vichar, the absolute consideration. From the apparent consideration, it seems like this personality, he's accepting a Rolls-Royce car, he's accepting worship from his disciples, and adoration, and so many things. And we think, atmavan mandite jagat, oh, he's just like me. He wants it for himself. But he's not accepting it for himself. And that's the qualification of guru and sadhu. That when someone comes and offers them respect, they don't take it for themselves. This is some secret. When we offer prayers to Krishna, you offer some stava. At the end, we recite, Sri Krishnarpanamastu. That may the result of this prayer be offered to Krishna. So we should always be offering whatever is given to us to our Gurudev. Because it belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. That appreciation and glorification that devotees might give, people give, that belongs to my Gurudev. But we accept that because my Gurudev should get that. He's such a personality. But if we want to enjoy it ourselves, then like Lord Shiva, he can drink poison and he can digest that. But if we try to imitate that, then sarvanas, everything will be finished. So Bhaktivinoda says, na loiba pujakar, I'll never accept worship from anyone. He says, abhimana amani manada hoi le kirtane adikara dibe tumi. This is how we get qualification to chant the holy name, to do kirtan. He's praying to Gurudev, to the Vaishnav Sadhu, that you please make me qualified. You give me some adhikar. You make me prideless. By your mercy, I'll become prideless and I'll be able to offer proper respect to everyone. In that situation, I'll always be able to chant the holy name. Tomara charani niskapatiyami. Then I'll be able to become sincere. I'll take shelter at your lotus feet and I'll give up all my kapatya, all my crookedness, and kandiya luti bobhumi. At that time, I'll be able to sincerely cry and roll at your feet. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes what is really chanting the holy names. Our Guru Maharaj liked this verse very much. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhamma. Bhakti Krishna Nama Smarana Krandana. He says three times that Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dana. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Making some money, having a big position, that's not real wealth. Bhakti is real wealth. But what is bhakti? Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Krishna Nama. Bhakti is Krishna Nam. But he says two things should be there. Smarana. When you chant Krishna's name, you should remember Krishna. You should think of him. Not that we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We should be thinking of Krishna when we're chanting. And Krandana, we should cry. Srila Prabhupada describes this thing in many different places, how this crying is a most important thing. in his commentary, his explanation of the Hare Krishna mantra, he says that this chanting is exactly like the cry of a child for the mother. That's the way we should chant. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His internal energy, Hara, for giving protection to the conditioned soul. The chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Prabhupada describes a nectar devotion. One should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's describing this in this song. He's not speaking about the tears of the sahajiyas who want to make some false show that they're advanced devotees. And we spoke about this the other day and how there was one Vaishnava in Navadvip who was lecturing and he was crying. And then one person noticed that before the lecture he was sticking some chili peppers up his nose. If you stick chili peppers up your nose, you'll also cry. So, it's not such a cheap thing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, here he's saying how we can actually develop that. Tomara charani. By really taking shelter at the lotus feet of Sadhu Guru. Which means, as Mahaprabhu says, Jadi ama prati sneha taki sabakar. If you love me, you love my instruction. It means following the instruction of Gurudev. Taking shelter of his lotus feet. And niskapatiyami, doing it in a non-duplicitous way. If we do that, then, he says, kandiya luti bobhumi. Then we can actually begin to cry for Guru, for Krishna. By the mercy of Sadhu Guru, we can begin to do that thing. But if we come with some duplicitousness, then we can't. We won't be able to do that thing. We won't be able to offer all respect to everyone else. We'll have such abhiman, amito Vaishnava, I'm a big Vaishnava, I'm a big person, you should give me some respect. We'll think like that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that everything will be finished. So it's a little late. We can stop there. I was going to speak on some other subjects tonight, but we got diverted. That happens. Well, we said that we were going to speak something about daksha. That's a really very, very important subject matter. I wanted to say something about Vaishnava Parab. We made a magazine, an issue, Krishna Katamrita, just about this subject. In the back of the magazine, we wrote an article called, Is Begging Forgiveness Enough? It's described many times that if we commit an offense to a Vaishnava, the only means for our deliverance is to take shelter of that Vaishnava. Bhumo skalita padanam, bhumirivavalambanam, twai jata paradhanam, twam eva saranam prabho. Just as the ground is the only support for someone whose feet has slipped up. Similarly, if we've offended someone, that person is our only shelter. So Daksha was a big person. He was more than GBC, more than temple president. He was very, very important. He was one of the Prajapatis. He was in charge of populating the universe. And he had a lot of opulence, a lot of wealth. He had thousands of wives. He had a very beautiful body. He was very handsome, very powerful. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that too much opulence leads to Vaishnava aparad. When we have a lot of opulence and we start thinking, I'm a big person, these other persons, they're not so high class, they're on a lower platform. So we have to be very careful. So Daksha, technically, he was senior in one sense to Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva had married Daksha's daughter. So he was Lord Shiva's father-in-law. However, Lord Shiva, he's a guna avatar. He's a manifestation of Krishna. And moreover, he's Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. Ohe ketra pala shiva tumi doyamoy. Krishna bhakti dehamoy hayasadoy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one verse, he prays to Lord Shiva, you're such an important person. You're the protector of the Dham. You're doyamoy, you're so merciful. You please give me Krishna bhakti. But Daksha was a materialist. And he was very, very proud because of all of his opulence. So he didn't offer respect to Lord Shiva. And he criticized Lord Shiva. Why should I offer respect to him? He's a very low-class, crazy person. Lord Shiva is Digambar. He's naked. He's only dressed with the 10 directions. He's a crazy fellow. He has ashes from the crematorium all over him. Why should I offer respect to him? He committed a terrible offense. And so many instructions are there from this episode. We don't have time to describe all of them. Sati, his daughter, she said that by committing an offense, the lotus feet of a great personality, they become destroyed. You become destroyed by the dust of the lotus feet of that personality. It's a famous verse in fourth canto of Bhagavatam. So what does that mean? What does it mean that you become destroyed by the dust of that Vaishnav? That Vaishnav may forgive you from his heart. And Vaishnav, no problem. I don't take offense. But what about that Vaishnava's disciples? And what about the other Vaishnavas? When they see that you've been acting in such a way, that Vaishnava might forgive you. But will the other Vaishnavas forgive you? Will the dust of the lotus feet of that Vaishnava forgive you? You'll be vanquished by the dust of that great personality. So Sati decided that better I give up this body. Because this body has some connection with you. I'm your daughter. So she lit a fire. And she sat in the middle of that fire and burned herself to death. To purify herself of this Vaishnava aparad. So then we know Lord Shiva became a little sulky when he found out that his wife had committed suicide like that. And he sent some of his followers to go and break up the jagya of Daksha. And they went there and they destroyed that jagya. They passed urine on the sacrificial arena and stool. And they broke the teeth of Bhrigu Muni. And they cut off the head of Daksha and killed him. But then Lord Brahma and some others said, hey, look, you know, Daksha's an important fellow. He said, we need to have him. We need a temple president. We need some senior person. We should be respectful. So you should bring him back to life. So then they took the goat that was there at the jagya, that goat's head that had been cut off, and they stuck that head on the body of Daksha and brought him back to life. So gone was Daksha's pride in his personal beauty and appearance. He was a real ladies' man before that, but now he has the face of a goat. He wasn't so appealing after that. It made him a little bit humble. And he realized, I've committed a great offense to a great personality, Lord Shiva. And Daksha cried. He went to Lord Shiva and he fell at his feet and he begged for forgiveness. And Lord Shiva told him, no problem. I forgive you. It's okay. But Jiva Goswami and our acharyas have commented that Daksha's offense was not nullified. Even though Daksha, he cried and he begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva. He was really repentant. And Lord Shiva from his heart said, no, it's okay. I forgive you. He really forgave him. But still, even that wasn't enough. And the result of his offense was, our acharyas have described, that Daksha took birth again. And this time in a family, and a lower class family of Kshatriyas. Daksha in that previous birth was in a Brahmin birth. He took birth as a Kshatriya. And then what was the result of his aparad in his previous life? He again made offense. But in his next birth, he made offense to Narad Muni. He criticized Narad Muni. So Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, he describes this thing. He says, Sat-prabhishtiv aparadhe tu tat santoshanartam eva santantanama kirtanadikam samuchitam. He says, in order to be freed from the offenses under great souls, one has to please that same personality whom you've offended. And you do that by constantly engaging in the process of bhakti, beginning with the chanting of the holy names. And he says, Uktascha Namakomudyam. He quotes a book called Namakomudi. Mahadaparada Shabhoga Eva Nivartaka Tadanugrahavo. Offenses to great devotees may be relieved either by experiencing the calamities they bring or by attaining the favor, the anugraha, of the offended devotee. So although Daksha, he got the kshama, the forgiveness of Lord Shiva, that forgiveness wasn't enough. He had to get the anugraha, the favor of Lord Shiva. If I come to Prayojan Prabhu and I say, oh Prayojan, you please, you're a very wealthy man, please give me a big loan of money. You say, okay, but you have to pay me back in so many days. Yes, yes, yes. And then after those days, I go back to him and I say, Prabhuji, I'm really sorry, you know, but I just don't have any money. And there's just no way I can't repay you. Please forgive me. He's so kind that he may do that. It's okay. You don't have to give me the money. He may forgive me, but he's not really satisfied. And he won't be satisfied unless I came and gave him the money that I owe him. So it's not enough just to go to a Vaishnava and say, oh, please forgive me for my offenses, or even to cry and say that. We have to please that Vaishnava. And that Vaishnava becomes pleased when he sees that we're taking shelter of the holy name. That's proper respect. The Vaishnava becomes very pleased by that. He sees this person is really a cultured person because he knows where to give the respect in the best way. Proper respect means respecting Krishna in the form of his holy name, taking shelter of Krishna Nam. So that's something about Daksha. We were also going to tell this story about Curse of the Dog. Maybe we can do that tomorrow. We have some time. Are there any comments or questions from anybody? Prabhuji?
You mentioned that when we chant, we have to think of Krishna and other things as well. I had a discussion with one devotee some time ago about that point, whether we should just try to focus on the here. Sorry, it's not exactly on the subject matter.
No, it's okay.
Or we could try to think of Krishna because we're already thinking of so many other things, so better think of something, not something but Krishna. So is that a process?
Srila Prabhupada addresses that in one place. He says that we don't have to make an artificial endeavor. All we have to do is just simply chant. And that thing is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In Hari Nam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda says, Name prasvatita hoy rupa guna karma. That there's no need to make any separate endeavor to meditate on Krishna's form, his qualities, or his pastimes. But the holy name by itself will blossom into those things. Some Vaishnavas, other Vaishnavas in India, who have a different bhajan pranali, a different system of bhajan, and some of them meditate on Krishna's pastimes like that as part of their bhajan. And we don't find fault with that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also is initiated like that. But we're followers of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they emphasize that all we have to do is take shelter of Krishna Nam. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. And everything will come automatically. And the holy name is everything in Kali Yuga. And in that holy name, if we chant sincerely and we just simply listen to the name, the Name Prasvatita Hoy Rupa Guna Karma. Naturally, Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes will arise in our heart and mind. Is that okay?
Yeah. What is, what's coming?
We don't have to drive them out. Sorry. Srila Prabhupada also told the devotees that every day, and I remember, I don't know if the devotees still did it here, but we used to do that always in Los Angeles when we were a new devotee. Every night we'd all read Krishna book. I have some hot milk in Krishna book. And Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, he says that those persons who want to do this Asa Kalila Smarana, remember Krishna's pastimes at all times, they should read these things. And naturally, if we read Krishna book, we read about Krishna's pastimes, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we might just, oh, Krishna, I read about him last night, yeah. He's doing this thing and that thing. And that's a nice thing. That'll come in an automatic way, but we don't have to make a separate endeavor for it. Mataji?
I was wondering if you ask for forgiveness, you're begging forgiveness from somebody and they don't want to know. So how do you do?
If they don't want to give you forgiveness.
Yeah, they don't.
Our acharyas described that if a Vaishnava won't forgive us, or in a similar situation, if that Vaishnava leaves his body or her body before we're able to get forgiveness from them, then what to do? Our acharyas described that we should spend our life doing two things. We should cry very sincerely, and we should chant Krishna Nam. Nam aparada yuktanam nam anyeva harantyagam avishranti payuktani tani vata harani cha. That if we do that with sincerity, Srila Vyasadeva gives this verse in Padma Purana, and Prabhupada quotes it in one purport, that even if you're doing Vaishnava, even if you're doing Nama Parad, which includes Vaishnava Parad, there's a solution. And that solution is Nama Parad Yuktanam, Namanyeva Harantyagam Vishranti Paryuktani Tani Vata Haranicha. You should chant Hare Krishna. And if we do that with sincerity, even that Vaishnava Parad will go away. But it may take a long, long time. We should be very, very careful. It's a huge stumbling block in our spiritual life. And the worst result of Vaishnava Parad, as we see in the case of Daksha, is that it gives birth to more Vaishnava Parad. We develop a mentality. We develop this haughtiness, this pride, that, oh, I'm the judge of other persons, and we start criticizing others. Then we think it's okay. And then from that criticism of one person, we start criticizing everyone. And then we lose a very valuable thing that we came here to get. Is there anything else? What would you?
I was hearing in Chaitanya Prabhupada, he talks about also another remedy is to glorify, continually glorify.
Yes. And therefore we have this song by Devaki Nandan Das, which we passed out a few days ago. Vrindavana Basi Jata Vaishnaviragan Pratame Vandana Kori Sabaracharan. He offers respects to all the Vaishnavas, Jay Desi Baisi Gorangiragan, no matter what country they're born in. And he says, Hoi Chena Hoi Bena Prabhu Jata Das. I offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, all the followers of Mahaprabhu in the past, and all the followers of Mahaprabhu in the future. And another meaning, Hoi Chena is, they offer obeisances to all the people who used to be Vaishnavas. All the people who came to the manor and moved into the temple and were chanting. But then after some time, their senses became uncontrollable. They committed some offenses, some problems came, and they left. And then they started breaking the regulated principles and forgot all about Krishna. And again, maybe took to meat eating and so many things. Devaki Nandan Das says, I offer my obeisances to them. They're great personalities because they used to be devotees. That's a very great thing. Hoi Chena and Hoi Bena. I offer my obeisances to all the people who are not devotees yet, but will become devotees in the future. It's such an exalted thing to be a Vaishnav. We should glorify the Vaishnavas. And if we do that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become so pleased with this. Lord Nityananda will be so pleased with this. And the result will be, we'll get a taste for the holy name. That's a good point. Is there anything else, Mataji?
You mentioned we should have a particular instruction for our guru, that we should follow that particular instruction.
But I also heard like the instruction of Guru is not necessary, especially to have personal, to be with the Guru personally, but his instructions is in his lectures, in his books. So how can it be personal?
I'm going to repeat what I've heard from my Guru Maharaj in this regard. It's a very strong thing that he's speaking. We printed actually this article in this magazine where he's speaking. He answers this exact question. What is it called? Guru Seva is everything. This put in a magazine. This is from a lecture he gave in Tawako, New Jersey in 1994. He said that there are general instructions from Guru, and there are specific instructions. And everyone has general instructions. Sometimes the Ridvik devotees, they say, I'm taking shelter of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that we should chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said that we should read his books. Prabhupada said we should distribute books. We should take prasadam, and we should follow four regulated principles. So I'm doing all those things. But we've seen if someone is sincere, if they're chanting with sincerity, they won't be satisfied with that. They're going to want a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. They're going to hanker in their heart for some personal instruction so that Prabhupada can tell them, you're doing good, you're doing bad. And we should want that thing. Gorga Vinamaraj even speaks so strongly about it, he says that if we haven't gotten that, we've been cheated. He says that's the right of the disciple. The disciple surrenders to Guru and tells the Guru, I'm your dog. I'll do anything for you. But still, that disciple has one right. He has a right to come to his Guru and say, Guru Maharaj, how can I serve you? And Srila Prabhupada did that with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He wasn't just satisfied just following the institution of the Gaudiya Mutt and doing the general activities of the devotees. He wanted a personal instruction that he could dedicate his life to. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him that. So we should pray for that thing. And if we haven't gotten that thing, general instructions are there. And Srila Prabhupada is such a personality, or our Gurudev is such a personality, he may come in another form, in another way, and give us some inspiration or to do some particular service. But it's especially a nice thing for us to have a particular instruction from Guru. Then our mind is very peaceful. We know this is my service, and I'm supposed to do this thing. I'm not supposed to do this other service, this or that. Let me do this service. My Guru has given me this thing. Mm-hmm. What did you have some question?
Yes. Yesterday morning you mentioned that the one who commits offense can be destroyed through his chanting or through bathing in Ganga. I don't understand.
Excuse me?
It didn't get it.
Why? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that thing, I think it's three verses like that in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where he says that I'll destroy them through the chanting of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Rup Govinda. He's Avatari. He's the source of all avatars. When the Lord comes in one of his Vishnu manifestations, he kills the demons with his Sudarshan Chakra, with his Komandaki club, like that. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he kills the demons in a different way. He kills them through his personal beauty, and he destroys the demoniac mentality through the chanting of the holy name. So, when Vishnu kills the demons, what happens to those demons? They get Kaivalya Mukti. So if we commit offenses to the Vaishnavas, and then we commit another offense to the holy name, thinking that I can chant the holy name and it'll make up for my aparad, Nam Boli Pap Budi, that I can do some sin on the strength of chanting the holy name, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'll destroy such a person through the chanting of the holy names. And that person become destroyed, they'll get Kaivalya Mukti. We'll merge with the effulgence of the Lord, which our Goswamis have described as Kaivalya Narakarate. It's worse than hell. It's definitely worse than hell. Hell is a very terrible punishment. And if you go there for such a long time, you'll be suffered and pained in so many different ways from the Yamadutas. But it's a temporary thing. Whereas that merging in the Brahma Jyoti is a permanent situation, generally. So Mahaprabhu was saying like that. A very serious thing. Mataji?
So people can stay in Brahma Jyoti? But I understood
that
people actually who go to Brahma Jyoti can't stay there.
It's described that some fall down is there from the Brahma Jyoti. Sometimes our acharyas describe like that. Sometimes they say that situation is a permanent situation. So my understanding is that certain souls may happen to fall from the Brahma Jyoti, but others may stay there for eternity, or they may stay there for such a long time that it's practically like eternity. Anything else? Prabhuji?
My question is, night after peace, the Nishina Prabhupada say, he who glorifies you is your best friend, and he who criticizes you is your worst friend, now the other way around.
Yes. I want to speak about that more tomorrow. Maybe we'll even tell a story for a friend of ours about don't eat other people's clay balls. A very interesting story illustrating this point. There's many descriptions in Shastra that if someone criticizes us, they take our sinful reactions if we forgive them. And then by forgiving them, we take their good reactions when it comes to us. And that's a whole other subject matter. So you're correct. Anything else is there? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda bhakta binda ki jai. Go. Premanandi, hari hari, oh.